Chrissy being an alcoholic.
Hey, Chris.
My last drink to date was on August 27th of 1995. I am a member of the 40 West group. We are big on the traditions, particularly the fifth tradition, and I didn't pick that group, just so you know. My sponsor, who's admitted a very, very strong in the history department, obviously didn't have his geography together when he assigned me that group. It's nowhere near my house. Not even close. And it's on Sunday night. You know, that's football night. Where's Buffy the Vampire? There she is. Tom is my sponsor. It's the only sponsor I ever have, or at least the only one I know of. On a serious note, maybe Vicky or George or Joe. They were all pitching in my first 4 weeks when a bullet in the air was looking good. And it's been an incredible ride. I've heard the first two speakers many, many times, but I really never tire of that. I mean, you know, Joe talked about how the anger was gone when his stepfather was died. I was like, what's the big deal? When my first mother-in-law died, my anger was gone too. I mean, that's easy. I mean, yeah. She's okay now, I assure you. She's gotten a lot better. Some of you know I was married April 29th. And she escaped July 28th of the same year. We're talking about marriage. I couldn't contribute too much to that conversation for a long, long time. But thanks to you guys. I'm a married man, and September will be 6 years. And I'll tell you something that is absolutely unbelievable to me. So I don't know how you'll take it, but we have never gone to bed at night angry with each other. And that's impossible, right? I mean, how can somebody like me and what I brought to Alcoholics Anonymous do that? You know, I'm a guy, I've been institutionalized 19 times. You guys didn't care that. I did not know, you know, I think it was Joe and that new guy from the Hickey School. I've been there a few times myself, not as an inmate. I escaped a lot of things, those people. My dad was a real estate lawyer of some note. Tom knew my dad. Tom was a big shot, by the way. Oh, no, he never talks about it. He knew James Rouse, you know, the biggest money guy in the whole city and stuff like that. And they would wheel and deal in real estate. And every now and then my dad would have to get involved in some of that stuff to transfer titles and things like that. You know, he really never talked about that when I was new. And I'm one of the few people I've known Tom. I first met Tom in 1987 when I wasn't even an alcoholic. And I'm sure there's at least one person in this room that's not an alcoholic. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with not being an alcoholic. I was not one until I turned 40, so don't feel bad. I mean, some of us are slower than others. I mean, not being an alcoholic's okay. If you're not an alcoholic, you know, you don't need to do the steps when you're not an alcoholic. If you're not an alcoholic, you don't need a sponsor. You're not an alcoholic, don't say yes when they call, right? If you're not an alcoholic, you don't need to read this, I assure you. You know, you read the big book when you feel like it, when you're not an alcoholic. You know? That's the way it is. There's some drawbacks to not being an alcoholic, though. I'll let you know those, too, because I wasn't one of them. Now, there's another advantage. I was the treasurer. You heard the McAfee 12 and 12 mentioned earlier. That meant something to me, because in 1987, they actually appointed me as treasurer of McAfee 12 and 12 when I wasn't an alcoholic. That's a good job if you're not an alcoholic. I'm still trying to be treasurer of Harbor City. You know, I would like that job. I have a 99 Camry with 150,000 miles on it. I need supplemental income or something. I know, but when you know, I wasn't an alcoholic and I was court ordered to AA, and I don't know why. I mean, Tom was 6 years sober. Remember this, And he asked me, for some reason, to go to Birdsville with him. I mean, it's like, Birdsville. I'm like, I didn't know where Birdsville was. And had I known, I would have said no, I assure you. I mean, you know, I was like, yeah, we're Birdsville, you know. Let's see what that's about, you know. Social calendar was wide open. And maybe he'd sign my court slip, who knows. And this is middle of 1987. And what I used to do, out of respect, I respect you guys. I would do bong hits and drink vodka before the meetings. That's what I did. out of respect for Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't think you guys would notice. And it wasn't, really, seriously, it wasn't until I was like 3 years sober and somebody was, you know, blabbing away up here and they'd go, you know what vodka smells like? And, you know, my ears perked up. I knew the answer to that. Nothing. And the guy, I mean, I still cringe. He goes, vodka smells like vodka. I was like, oh, no. I've been sober 3 years. I'm like, holy cow. Good thing we quit. Jeez, I was wondering why she left after 89 days. I mean, I was drinking hot vodka all that time for nothing. That's a resentment. Bad. So I'm doing bong hits, I'm drinking vodka, and I'm on my way to Birdsville in a car full of recovered alcoholics. It's the longest ride of my life, 10 times longer than today's ride. Today, we were here just like that. It's amazing, you know, we're just blabbing away and stuff. But man, Birdsville, it's a forever, you know, and they're talking, and then it gets worse. They start talking about God, you know, and it's like, oh man, please, holy rollers, you know, and these losers would just shut up, and you know, everybody, I don't know about you, but they're all losers when I showed up to Alcoholics Anonymous, and they'd get to Birdsville early before the meeting even started. They would let them hang out in the parking lot and introduce me to everybody. Oh, this is Chris, he's new, you know. And then the meeting starts, and then the guy starts talking, and it's like an hour's passed, and you look up, and then, you know, the bong hits are wearing off, and 2 minutes have gone by. I'll tell you, that's a hard way to go, isn't it? And you guys didn't see the mine, and Tom gave me my first big book not long after that in 1987, and wished me well is what he did, and what happened between 1987 and 1995 is I had to become an alcoholic, and that's Joe said it, and you said it in so many words, but I had to do what it took to ask somebody for help. I had to do the same thing that everybody in this room had to do, and I had to become an alcoholic. I had to become powerless over alcohol. I had to do, I think, to me, at least to this speaker, I had to do the first step to walk into those rooms one more time on August 28th of 1995. And I bring me, you know, I didn't read the big book. And by the way, even though when I was new, and sometimes probably today, I can read this book and not get it. Seriously. And, you know, I mean, I know the words and stuff like that, but I don't get it. I don't get what they're saying, you know. I really don't. I mean, the words are there, and I'm reading and stuff like that, but I'm not getting it. You know, I didn't know what an alcoholic was. You guys had to tell me. I had to do a second step is what I had to do, you know. And that's the hardest thing I think I had to do. When that happened, I showed up to AA, and a guy pointed me back to Magathy 12 and 12. I'm living in Baltimore City. Magathy's like 20 miles away from my house, and I knew where that was. A fellow named Maynard 12-stepped me at the chip house. One night, at just the right time, I'm 3.5 weeks without a drink, not doing a thing, nothing, you know, and hating that God talk, no holding hands. I was out of there before. When you started praying, I was out the door. Couldn't do it. I was freaking out, you know. I was freaking out in AA, and I'm going nuts, and a bullet in the ear sounding good. And I don't know how Maynard catches me when I'm brand new. I was hard to catch. I was, you know. How do you catch a guy if he's at 929? Pretty hard, but Maynard managed to do it. You know, God was on top that night. He is on every night. I was ready. You know, eventually it had to happen. And he directs me. He gives me his phone number, just like we do. And, you know, no holier than thou. I've heard a few lectures since I've been here, but not too much holier than now. And he gives me his number and says, call anytime. A point blank declarative statement, a matter of fact, almost take it or leave it kind of attitude, you know, that he was available 24/7. And I call him the next day, and he directs me to Magazine 12 and 12. And lo and behold, who hasn't learned anything new in the 8 years that I was away? Ours truly, Tom, sitting in the middle of the room, looking like Santa Claus on steroids or something. He was there. And he was doing like you're doing. He's laughing and everything. I mean, and I'm not laughing. I think everybody's laughing but me. I do. Mike Lafferty, he's passed away now. He's passed away sober. We're celebrating 5 years that night. All right? 5 years. We've been September 95. He got sober in September 90, evidently. And he's celebrating. He's one of these guys who you laugh when you hear him laugh. He has one of those laughs, and you got to laugh, unless you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous. then you want to kill. I mean, death. Quick. I mean, I liked him. He seemed nice. So quick death for them, you know. No lingering ants and honey torture stuff. He was trying to be nice. But there's Tom, and at the end of the meeting, you talk about self. We heard that message, didn't we? I thought he was coming up to me. Oh, Chris, so glad to see you back. And now I know he's going to thank the speaker, which is what he does after me. But he asked me how I was doing. And you know the answer to that question when you're an alcoholic, right? I mean, I didn't look so good, actually. But I told him when I wanted to jump. You know, I was ready. I didn't want to jump. That might hurt. I wanted clean, no pain, death. Stop. Stop it. Just stop, you know? Stop. And but I can't tell him I'm thinking about those thoughts. How can I tell him? I don't know what the part of the cure for alcoholism is to tell somebody that kind of stuff. And I said I was doing fine. You know? And he said he could see that. You know? And then he did the greatest thing any of us can do, and what he and Joe and Vicky and George and all them were so much a part of, and now all you guys are doing it. I know this is an active group. He said, come on, you know? What is a better thing to do than to say, come on, you know, come with us, you know? And I didn't want to come with them, you know? I really didn't. I did not want to hang out with this crowd anymore. I just wanted to be left alone, you know, in a hole somewhere. And he said, we meet at Denny's, and we'll be there to the next night. I still have that. I still have Maynard's little number to go to Magathie, and I still have Tom's 7:15 at Denny's in my wallet. And he goes, Chris, that's on Route 2. Then he goes, it's near the DMV, Chris. You know where that is? I love doing that. Now, you learn a lot from Tom. I do. One of my favorite things, I'm going to jump way ahead, but one time I had a 12-step call not long ago, and I show up, and the guy's drunk, right? I mean, there's blood. I mean, it wasn't nice. His wife passed out. I mean, not making light of that. But he was, you know, it was a 12-step call too late. That's what it was. Sorry. I'm not one that's going to love you till you love yourself. not quite. I got this one from Tom. I'm upset. You ruined the middle of my Saturday. You know, I got so many years now, and I had to leave the wife. I'll be back whenever, and she's great with it. She's like, good, have fun. You know. Leave the credit card. It kind of breaks even there, but so the guy's like, you know, he's wobbling and stuff like that. It happened to be a wealthy neighborhood, but I remembered the line, and I go, "Hey, you got health insurance?" And the guy's, "Oh, he's really happy. Yeah, I got it." I said, "Don't cancel it." And walk away. Wreck my Saturday, you. I felt okay. You know. Hey, you learn from sponsors, man. I tell you, yeah, that's what it is. And so I showed up to Denny's, and that was a maybe Wednesday night, Thursday night, and I thought I was done. I haven't a clue where we went Thursday night, and then same thing Friday night. And then also, this is my last little note on that piece of paper, the Maynard and the Tom number. I have Denny's Saturday, 6 o'clock or whatever, because now this lady named Vicky is speaking in Delaware. And I'm like, Delaware, this is going to be like Birdsville. I know it. Gee, I got a directory now. I mean, there's 80 meetings between there and Delaware. And, the losers have nothing better to do. So I showed up. That's amazing. I showed up, you know. People want to know how much I drank. I drank enough to drive to Delaware with Vicky and Tom and Joe and George. I'll tell you, that's some heavy drinking. Top that. So, you know, I'm in the middle in the back, you know, people touching me and stuff. I mean, I don't like the it's going tight. It's bad. But, you know, they really, really didn't seem that bad that night. I mean, that's the magic of this thing. You know, something was happening. I don't know what's happening. You know, I don't. I really don't. I still don't know what's happening. I mean, I know what's happened. I sometimes don't know what's going on out there, even to this day. It's awesome. It's amazing. You know, I'm a guy. You look at a guy. I didn't have a television the first 7 years I was sober. I mean, I didn't need Dancing with the Stars, man. I had, you know, you talk about running around. I was the poster child of Alcoholics Anonymous in Baltimore. You know, I was there picking up at the rehabs and the halfway houses. Come on, you know, which step are you on? But there's nothing wrong with that. That's fervor. I mean, that's the way it is. That's great. I needed that. And it's part of recovery is chasing those boys down and picking them out of the gutters and getting them when you can. But that night something happened. You know, it was just enough. Vicky laid it all out. Our next speaker just laid it all out. And I found out what a second step was. I didn't know I was doing a second step. How the heck do I know that? You know, I don't know that. But all I know, I mean, I don't tell her story, you know, but nobody can make up a story like that. I'm telling you, it was the right story at the right time to the right guy. That's all it is. I don't know when stuff's going to happen. I don't know who's going to get it, who doesn't. I mean, I know if you do it 12 steps as good as you can and keep doing it, you're not going to drink. I know that. You know the group, this so-called Denny's group or whatever? You know, there's about 40 of us. We're 39 out of 40. We were 44. I think one guy is still out there. He may be back. The people that consistently showed up. I mean, the same crowd we had five in the car today. I mean, this is the same people over these 12 years and up. One newer guy, right? But he's got two, 3 years now. And, you know, it's the same crowd. It is. I mean, and it gets slowly added on. And the people that stay are the people that do the 12 steps and pass it on consistently. I mean, that's a fact. You know, I remember Tom saying, you know, it's like how many, you know, I went to one rehab and I went to more than one rehab, but this one rehab I went to, you know, they said, and that's their experience. I'm not here to knock the rehabs, but they were, I don't know if I would say this if I was like the president of the rehab, which I envisioned myself to be on occasion, but but they say, look around. You know, I bet you some of you look left, look right, and there's like 50 of us in the rehab room, you know, where, you know, the alcoholics and the addicts and you know, that other crowd kind of by themselves in the corner. I'd come over tiptoe, see what they were saying every now and then, but But they said, look around, one, two of you are going to get it out of the whole room. Right? And that's their experience. The tongue would open up the bulge, you know. Rarely have we seen a person with rarely. You know what that means, Chris? I'd rather step on your feet than stand on your grave. All right. It gets better. This is when I'm new. I mean, nothing's bigger pain than a new guy that's done the 12 steps. You think the new guys, yeah, now the guy's got the 12 steps. He's like, hey, you can't do that. Oh, sure, okay. Hello. She's married. You shouldn't. Oh, jeez. I was dating a married woman, and I didn't tell my sponsor. I intuitively knew. Why burden them with the married woman girlfriend story? No reason for that. But I'm sponsoring this guy, you know, many of you know Keith, and he just finished the 12 steps. And he's like, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, I should. You haven't seen her, you know. gotta go. I still think of her from time to time. In a good way, but he goes, you weren't like that, Keith. You weren't like that if she, you know, your wife did that to you. And I'm like, I don't think that's the principle. And I was dead serious. And it was like, whatever. And the fine, you know, it's like, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. And the guy, and he goes, you're causing her to live a lie. And he's like, a new guy just did the steps. I haven't seen her since. It was either that or dumb Keith. It was close. We are not saints, it says. Don't tell me I can't read this book. So, I think he does the deal that night. And I was thinking, you know, I have all this garbage, right? We have it. I had it. And all this secret stuff that I did, I didn't think would ever see the light of day. I would certainly tell no man or potential woman about. Never, ever, ever would they know this stuff. And I always think of it like God had an arrow with a God tip on it. It just nailed me right in the soul or the heart. You know, it got me. I became a member of Alcoholics Anonymous that night in Delaware. I did. I knew Alcoholics Anonymous worked. I'll put it that way. I knew it. I mean, here's this. I heard. I was like, yep, she's got what I got. So she had what I had. She did. That's a fact. She knew from her story. She knew what it was like to be around the block I went. And we were around very different blocks, but it didn't matter. It really didn't. And then she offers a solution. And it's the same thing these guys are talking about. It's the 12 steps. And I don't get it. I mean, it's like electricity. I don't get it. But they're all following the same report. Now, I'm looking for the lie, particularly from Tom. I'm waiting for him to mess up. You know, I am. I'm a nice guy, you know. I'm a coward. I never hit between the eyes. I jump from the behind. I'm serious. That's the kind of guy I am. Preferably with a car around me. Right? Or something in my hand. No, really. I never went face to face if I could avoid it. And I'm a coward. And that's all over my fifth step, fourth step. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally he said something. I had him. You know, I didn't want to, you know, he has a lot of schooling, you know. His schooling's a lot better than mine. I didn't say he's smarter. He's better educated. And There's a difference. Well, he said he looked for a sponsor as smart as him. He couldn't find one. I can relate to that. And we got the same story there. But I remember driving, and I wish I could say, like, his hands were on the wheel at the time, but they weren't. You know, he'd already been looking at me and talking to me and doing, you know, this stuff. And somehow this Lincoln Continental's managing to stay, you know. I think when he felt gravel on the left tire, he would go like this. And gravel on the right tire, he would go like that, you know. And but I remember I go, I don't approve. Because he said something I didn't approve of, you know. I'm a little less than 3 months sober, and I know this for another reason we'll get into. And he continued to look at me, and he said, I'm not in search of your approval. So I asked him to be my sponsor the next day. You know? So we better bring this guy. We better not attack. We better bring him under the covers. I'll probably do that. I read that book, and we started on this thing, you know, called the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we did stuff. I mean, we were always doing stuff. I mean, we could go all day with stuff. You know, we can't. We were going everywhere, you know, here and there. And I mean, I'm not a big crier in AA, but I found out when we were going to Mississippi for a meeting, I think I cried that day. I was like, Mississippi! This is like Birdsville times 100, Mississippi! How can we... How about Virginia or maybe Kentucky, you know? I mean, Mississippi. We went down to Mississippi, and it was a great event. You know, I'd never done stuff like that before. And I didn't, you know, if you had asked me before I did this, you know, do you know how to check into a hotel or do you know how to check in at the airline, you know, booth? I would have said no. I mean, I would have said, yeah, I know. I check your credit card, name, or whatever. You know, I didn't know how to do these things. I didn't. I did not know how to do these things. Oh, I've done it, you know, more times than most. So, you know, I travel a lot, and you know, hundreds of times. But I didn't know you were supposed to treat people nice and stuff like that. I mean, it was great. For no other reason, I check in hotels now. I mean, you know, just saying the right thing. You know, I'm up there in the penthouse, with, you know, executive floor. I'm like, this is nice. Yeah, just by treating the person nice. I remember one time, it was in St. Louis. I'll never forget it, and. This lady, she had a cross on, so I know what that meant. And still a little scared of them, but not so much anymore. Yeah, I'm about 4 years sober now. We're starting to get over it. And Lisa didn't have the whole, you know, crucifix thing going. But it was raining, and everybody was giving a hard time, you know. And the poor lady was getting creamed, you know. And overbooked or underbooked or delayed flights or canceled flights. It's a drag, you know, it's Friday. People want to get home. And they took it out on this poor lady. And I come up, she goes, I give her my thing. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Your flight's been canceled. I said, well, that's good. When you're in charge of the weather, I'd like to touch the hem of your garment. And she just went like, there was a flight that was supposed to take off 3 hours early. She gave me a first class ticket. I got home an hour and a half early that I was supposed to on my other flight. I'm like, this AA stuff works great. I like AA. So we had a lot of fun doing stuff like that. I mean, one time, this, I'm backtracking. I was about 2 years sober. At one point, they had taken my driver's license away forever. And that's... the state of Maryland, because of what I had done, that said, you are never, ever to operate a motor vehicle in this state. Again, this is not the funny part. This is what happens if you can't control your drinking. By the way, if I say nothing else and you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous... You know, some of us go to jail, some of us lose jobs or houses, lose wives, you know, all that stuff, you know. I mean, those inconveniences did happen to me. I'm not, you know, making light of some of those. The wife things, you know, that's a human being involved. But alcoholism is the inability. An alcoholic is the inability to control your drinking, period. That's it. Can you control it? That's all you got to ask yourself. And that's all they asked me. And I had to think about that for a while. But anyway, I lost my license. And I literally, Tom said it was okay to lie, just be consistent. Oh, that's what I heard him say. He might not have said anything. I don't know. A lot of times I'll say what I heard you saying, because sometimes I'll come to speak, that was great. I love when you said that. And they'll look at me, I never said that. It's what I heard. It is. I told one of the early, I was months over, one of the great lines. I don't see things as they are. I don't. I see things as how I am. Yeah? I remember him saying stuff like that. Yeah? And I meant something at the time. It's really that. I was like, I get that. You know, so I had to be consistent in this story. I had really forgotten that I couldn't drive in any state for a while there. And I finally got my license, and I actually got insurance. And I even got a registration, and the tags were mine. I had it all together, so I thought, for the first time in 14 years. I didn't have insurance for 14 years, you know. When you're as good a driver as I am, you don't need insurance. And you certainly don't insure hot cars. I mean, why would you do that? That's how you get in trouble. Oh, I forgot. That's not mine. But anyway. But we were driving up there, and we're in New Jersey, somewhere around here. Probably you guys would delight to drive. Well, brand new Continental, you know. And I was legal to drive in 49 states. I'd forgotten that I couldn't drive in New York at the time. I'd forgotten that. And so it was Tom, myself, it was Mike, and Ray. And they're all sober. We're all sober still, of course. And you know, opposed to 55, which you all know means 65, just to be safe. And Mike goes, oh, there's your exit. So I'm thinking, Continental, I just went like this. You know, let's go. I mean, it looked like a clean, safe exit to me. Well, there's a tree blocking the 10-mile-per-hour signs. And Tom's asleep in the back. He was. And I got a Lincoln Continental on two wheels, you know. I'm kind of looking at him. And I have a decision to make. Do we stay on the ramp, or do we take her off for the Wild Blue Yonder? And I said, we better go into the Wild Blue Yonder with this guy. There's no staying on the ramp. We're like 55 over the suggested speed. You know? 65 minus 10, right? I mean, I didn't see the tree was blocking the sign. I'm sticking with that. Now we're in that place between the ramp and the highway with his Lincoln Continental. And now he's awake in the back, you know, with one eye open like this. You know, and we get up. I scooted all the way up to the highway without no brakes or anything. I figured we don't want to use those. And we just shoot right back on that expressway. And he goes, Chris, you're decisive. I like that. And goes back to sleep. You know, he says he don't want to be cool and laid back. That's about as cool and laid back as you can get. Everybody else is waiting. I'm just like, I'm feeling pretty good, actually. God works again. And we went to that conference. Remember that conference? It was didn't turn out to what we were hoping for. I think it was about 100 people. There's about 40 registered, 100 people went to the dance that night, right? And then morning meditation, there was two of us. My kind of guys, I don't think we ever went back there. So it was worth a shot. And we did stuff, you know. I did steps, I balked, you know. I had this big hang-up about God and stuff like that. What time did we cut this thing off? This is 36. 10-minute warning, all right. And I told him I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in God. And he looked, he was very general about that. He goes, I didn't ask you to believe in God. I said, do the third step prayer. What a gift. It's one of the great gifts of all time. It's not what I think. No, it gets back to that yes thing, you know? I don't have to listen to this. He told me these pearls of wisdom. He goes, Chris, I bet you're never thrown in jail for your thinking. You're always thrown in jail for your doing, weren't you? Sounds like Tom, doesn't it? That's true. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I had a hard time separating the two, you know. Whoops, kum-pum, oh, sorry. Hey, ouch. That must have hurt, but So he said, do this third step prayer. I didn't ask you to believe in anything. Believe in what you want. Believe in the earth is square or whatever he said. Or, you know, do the third step. Yeah. And I got that gift. And I still use that today. Most of the time, whatever, 80% of the time, I'm fairly willing. Yeah, I'll do it. And I say yes either way. 20% of the time, I don't want to do it. And I say yes then too. Thanks to that lesson. Just do it. It gets results later, right? Just do it. Yeah, like, what else am I going to do? You know? Nobody's asking me to stay home from Alcoholics Anonymous, that's for sure, you know? You know, I tried that. I was 15 months sober. And I had not missed a day of AA yet, you know, really. You know, I was free. You know, maybe if I had to go somewhere, like, you know, the job, which I think was starting, took about a year for the job to send me places. But 15 months was Thanksgiving, so whatever, if 16 months I'm sober. And I'm going to eat dinner with my mom and my dad and six brothers and sisters. We have this great family and the relatives. I mean, the table goes all the way out and there's a table in another room and all this stuff. And I'm going to stay home from Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was Thanksgiving, and it was Thursday night, and it was the home group there. And it was like getting near 7:30, you know, we're halfway through dinner, and my mom goes, do they have Alcoholics Anonymous on Thanksgiving night? And I didn't get it. I thought it was a funny question to ask in front of like 25 people. his mom had done amends. I go, they have Alcoholics Anonymous, Thanksgiving night, and I really didn't think anything about it. About a half hour later, I'm getting ready for dessert, and she goes, what time does this meeting start for Alcoholics Anonymous on Thanksgiving night? I got it. Oh, she wants me to go to AA. You know? You couldn't tell my parents Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't work. Try it sometime. You know, they weren't arguing anything. They'd just say, it worked for my son, thank God. That's what it saved his life. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous worked for them. And we went through the steps, and then we did the fifth step. And, you know, that fifth step was the first thing I was allowed to decide something. You know, I hid the sex stuff in the back. I figured I'd wear the old boy out, you know. He'd be snoozing by the time we got to that act. So I did resentments. And, I'll never forget it. He let me do resentments first. And I had, you know the resentments. I mean, the first one was a guy knocked me out in the barroom fight, and I started it. I don't know why. I'm not that a brawler, but he certainly won that fight big time. And you know, if you whip me in front of a crowd, particularly my friends, that's a resentment. You know, that's that was a 22-year resentment. That, you know, the torture and let live, back to that ants and honey kind of stuff resentment. But I remember, I wrote, that was the first thing I wrote down. That was whatever, it took 4 weeks ago, and it's gone. You know, I had a stupid barroom fight I started, and of course and then he goes, well, what's the second one? And I said, the guy, he knocked my eye so hard I had to go to Wilmer Eye Clinic, which is kind of a nerded clinic in Baltimore, Johns Hopkins, and all this stuff. They had to fix my eye up. And you know, the book says to conclude others were wrong was as far as we ever get. You know, and I had forgotten, seriously, I had forgotten. He caught me. I'd taken a half gallon out of his house, and he caught me stealing his boat with the half gallon. I'm like, oh. Of course he punched me. I mean, he wanted his head down, his boat back, and he didn't want me to do it again. You know? And it worked. He got it. You know? But we did. We said a prayer before that fifth step, and I had a spiritual experience doing the fifth step with another man. I had a spiritual. I knew Yeah, the second step in Delaware, I wanted it to work. It looked like it worked that day. Doing that fifth step in that shopping center, I knew here now that Alcoholics Anonymous works. They sent me home for an hour, just like the book says on the bottom of page 75. You return home for an hour, and I did all that, and I got to make amends. And you know, we got just 3 minutes here. It's been incredible. You know, it's about being connected with other people. I can't connect to God except through you. There's not possible. I can't connect to God in a vacuum. I cannot. You know, and I can't help me. I haven't been given that power. I got to do that through others. It's the only possible way I can do it. No, that's in the book, and that's my experience. I got passed this thing on. I had to make the amends. I had to make amends to my mom. I'll never forget when she said, when I told her, well, we make amends to people we harmed. He goes, she didn't harm me. You harmed you. You know? She let me off the hook. You know? She was a mom. Of course she let me off the hook. You know? Yeah, my mom had 8 kids. 2 of them are bent, 6 are good. She thinks she won out of the deal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. She'll take that every time. She don't want to change a thing. 6 to 2, she's looked around the neighborhood. She's seen worse than that. That's a good deal. It's a winning record. And my dad, I couldn't even talk about the weather with my dad when I showed up to Alcoholics Anonymous, and he passed away. And he told me stuff he never told another man before he passed away. You know, I had an experience with my dad on his deathbed. It was an amazing thing. I was able to go to the Serengeti with my dad in Africa and get in a hot air balloon. Me and him. No other members with that. One brother was there, but he's a big-time lawyer, but he's not getting in any hot air balloon, I'll tell you that. and there's a lot of love in my family. And my dad and I were connected. And when it came time for him to find a member of Alcoholics Anonymous to help one of his relatives, he called me, you know. And he's not my dad. Tom, like I said, he knows my dad. My dad wouldn't get the wrong person for the wrong job. He just doesn't do that. He's no nonsense. He don't worry about stepping on toes. He needs the job done. If somebody's dying of alcoholism and you're related to an EB, I'm the guy, at least to get you connected, according to my dad, you know. And he's right. You know, I never knew about that. I would leave, you know, the Ravens made this, have a Sunday night home group, and the Ravens are in the Super Bowl and all this other stuff. And he watched me walk away from that, you know, after the first quarter. And I always wondered, gee, should I stay home and watch the Super Bowl with my dad? But I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, sometimes it's not always easy. But I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and then my dad gives me a call. You know, that's what happened. So that's it. So I want to thank Tom. When I did the 12th step, he spent a grand total of 10 seconds on the 12th step with me, and he said, pass it on. So thanks for passing it on.